Thank you. chapter 15. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Text 102. Tabe Ramananda Ara Satyaraja Kana Prabhura Charane Kichu Kaila Nivedana. After this, Ramananda Vasu and Satyaraj Khan both submitted questions at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Grihastha Vishaya Ami Kimara Sadhane Srimuke Agyakara Prabhu Nivedi Charane. Satyaraj Khan said, "My dear Lord, being a householder and a materialistic man, I do not know the process of advancing in spiritual life. I therefore submit myself unto your lotus feet and request you to give me orders." Prabhu kehena Krishna seva Vaishnava sevana nirantara kara Krishna nama sankirtana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Without cessation, continue chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna. Whenever possible, serve him and his devotees, the Vaishnavas." Satyaraja Bale Vaishnava Chiniba Kemane Ke Vaishnava Kaha Tanra Samanya Lakshane. Upon hearing this, Satyaraj said, "How can I recognize a Vaishnav? Please let me know what a Vaishnav is. What are his common symptoms?" Text 106, and this is the verse on the board. So we'll chant it responsively. Prabhu kahe,
Prabhu kahe,
yanra,
yanra,
mukhe,
mukhe,
shuni,
shuni,
ekabara,
ekabara,
Krishna nama,
Krishna nama,
se pujya,
se pujya,
shrestha,
shrestha,
sabakar,
sabakar.
Prabhu kahe yanra mukhe suni ekabara.
Prabhu kahe yanra mukhe suni ekabara.
Krishna nama se puja shrestha sabakara.
Krishna nama se puja shrestha sabakara.
Prabhu kahe yanra mukhe suni ekabara.
Prabhu kahe yanra mukhe suni ekabara.
Krishna nama se puja shrestha sabakara.
Krishna nama se puja shrestha sabakara.
Prabhu kahe yanramuke shunye kabara.
Prabhu kahe yanramuke shunye kabara.
Krishna namase puja shrestha sabakara.
Krishna namase puja shrestha sabakara. Prabhu kahe yanramuke shunye kabara.
Prabhu kahe yanramuke shunye kabara.
Krishna namase puja shrestha sabakara.
Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, Yandra Mukhe, in whose mouth, Shuni, I hear, Ekabara, once, Krishna Nama, the holy name of Lord Krishna.
The holy name of Lord Krishna.
Se Puja.
Se Puja.
He is worshipable.
He is worshipable.
Shrestha Sabakara.
Shrestha Sabakara.
The best of all human beings.
The best of all human beings.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, whoever chants the holy name of Krishna just once is worshipable and is the topmost human being. Please repeat. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied,
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied,
whoever chants the holy name of Krishna,
whoever chants the holy name of Krishna,
just once,
is worshipable.
And is the topmost human being. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna once, a person becomes perfect. Such a person is understood to be a Vaishnav. With such faith and belief, one can begin a life of Krishna consciousness. But an ordinary person cannot chant the holy name of Krishna with such faith. This is confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Upadeshamrita. Krishneti yasikiritam manasadriyeta. One should accept the holy name of Krishna to be identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead transcendence himself. The holy name of Krishna is the personification of sound, perfectly transcendental and eternally liberated from material contamination. One should understand that the name of Krishna and Krishna are identical. Having such faith, one must continue to chant the holy name. When one is situated on the neophyte platform, one cannot understand the devotional ingredients of a pure, unalloyed devotee. However, when the novice engages in devotional service, especially in deity worship, and follows the order of a bona fide spiritual master, he becomes a pure devotee. Anyone can take advantage of hearing about Krishna consciousness from a pure devotee and thus gradually become purified. A devotee who believes that the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord is a pure devotee, even though he may be in the neophyte stage. By his association, others may also become Vaishnavas. One is known as a materialistic devotee if he simply worships the deity of Hari with faith, but does not show proper respect to the devotees or to others. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.47. Archayam eva haraye ya pujam shradaye hate natad bhakte shuchanyeshu sa bhakta prakrita smrita. Anyone who engages with faith in the worship of the deity of Hari but does not show proper respect to the devotees and to others is known as a materialistic devotee. However, by associating with the neophyte devotee who believes that the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord, one can become a devotee also. When Lord Chaitanya was teaching Sanatan Goswami, he said, Shravanjanahaya Bhakti Adhikari Uttama Madhyam Kanishta Shraddha Anusari Yahara Komala Shraddha Se Kanishta Jana Krame Krame Tenho Bhakta Haibe Uttama Rati Prema Taratamye Bhakta Taratama. A person who has attained firm faith is a real candidate for advancing in Krishna consciousness. According to the faith, there are first class, second class, and neophyte devotees. One who has preliminary faith is called Kanishta, or a neophyte. The neophyte, however, can become an advanced devotee if he strictly follows the regulative principles set down by the spiritual master. The pure devotee whose faith advances becomes a Madhyam Adhikari and Uttama Adhikari. C.C. Mudya, 264, 69, and 70. It is thus concluded that even a neophyte devotee is superior to the karmis and gyanis because he has full faith in chanting the holy name of the Lord. A karmi, or a gyani, regardless of his greatness, has no faith in Lord Vishnu, his holy name, or his devotional service. He may be advanced religiously, but if he is not trained in devotional service, he has very little credit on the transcendental platform. Even a neophyte devotee engaged in deity worship in accordance with the regulations set forth by the spiritual master is in a position superior to that of the fruitive worker and speculative philosopher. Translation again. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Whoever chants the holy name of Krishna just once is worshipable and is the topmost human being." Every year, the residents of Kulinagram would come from Bengal to Orissa, to Jagannath Puri, to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the time of the Rath Yatra. And every year, they would ask the same question. What is their duty? Especially being householders, what is their duty? And every year, Lord Chaitanya would give the same answer, that they should chant the holy name without cessation and serve the devotees, the Vaishnavas. And every year, the residents of Kulinagram, headed by Satyaraj Khan, would ask, who is a Vaishnava? What are the characteristics of a Vaishnava? How do I recognize a Vaishnava? And for 3 years, Lord Chaitanya answered the same question, but in a somewhat different way. The first year, which is what we're reading about now, he replied that one who chants the holy name just once is worshipable and is the topmost human being. The next year, Lord Chaitanya replied that one who chants the holy name without cessation is a Vaishnava and he is worshipable. And then the third year, Lord Chaitanya replied that he whose very presence inspires others to chant the holy name is a Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada explains, and it's also clear from the verses and purports, that the first year, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described the Kanishtha Vaishnav, the second year, the Madhyam Vaishnav, and the third year, the Uttama Vaishnav. Now today's purport is a little intricate because it refers to two different types of definitions of neophyte devotees. The first one comes from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Text 47. Acharyam evaharaye ya pujan shadayehate natad bhakte shuchanyeshu sadbhakta prakrita smrita. We find here the word shadayehate, one who worships the deity with faith. Shraddha, ado shraddha, the beginning of devotional service or uttama bhakti is shraddha. And Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that shraddha is the firm faith and conviction that just by engaging in devotional service, everything will be achieved. That the benefits that one can get from all other processes will be achieved just by engaging in devotional service. Here, Srila Prabhupada, quoting his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, talks about faith in the holy name, that one who has faith that the holy name and Krishna are identical is a pure devotee, even if he's in the neophyte stage. But the faith that the holy name of Krishna is the same as Krishna himself is not possible for ordinary people. If someone actually has faith that the holy name of Krishna and Krishna himself are the same, he's considered a pure devotee and he will progress from the Kanishtha stage to the Madhyam stage to the Uttama stage. But if one only has faith in the deity, his faith may not be sufficient to bring him to the perfectional stage unless he associates with pure devotees. We can give what we have. So if we have faith that the holy name of Krishna is identical to Krishna, we can give the same faith to others. And therefore, by our association, even if we're in the neophyte stage, they can become devotees. But Srila Prabhupada mentions that it's also difficult to recognize who a pure devotee is. According to the definition here, a pure devotee is one who has faith that the holy name of Krishna is the same as Krishna himself. Now, such faith would be manifested in the devotees always chanting the holy name, which was Lord Chaitanya's first instruction, nirantara, to chant the holy name without cessation. Because if we know that the holy name is Krishna and we want to associate with Krishna, then we will always chant the holy name. If we know that the holy name is Krishna and we want to serve Krishna, then we'll always chant the holy name or engage in some other service to the holy name, nirantara, without cessation, without any interval. Without cessation or without any interval means that we don't engage in other activities besides service to the holy name. We don't take time out from devotional service to engage in fruitive activities or mental speculation or any other activity. But nirantara, we chant without cessation, or in a broader sense, we either chant personally or spread the chanting for others without cessation. That is the symptom of a pure devotee. Even though such a pure devotee may be in the neophyte stage. Now that doesn't sound very neophyte. That actually sounds quite advanced. So what is the meaning of neophyte stage here? Neophyte stage means that he's beginning. He has faith, but he's just beginning the process. But because he has faith, by chanting the holy names and associating with pure devotees, his faith will increase. And as his faith increases, he will advance to the higher stages of Madhyam and Uttama. Now, does this mean that anyone who just happens to say the name of Krishna once is worshipable and is the topmost human being? Does that mean if some government officer says, I don't want the Hare Krishnas here, I don't want the Hare Krishnas to buy land here, I don't want the Hare Krishnas to have a temple here, does that mean he's the topmost human being and worshipable? No. One must chant the holy name offenselessly or purely. If one chants the holy name even once, purely, the holy name itself, by its mercy and power, will gradually elevate the person to the perfect stage. Even if he only chants the holy name once, but purely, or at least offenselessly. Uh, she says that those who are on the path of material progress, Janmaishwarya Shuta Shibir, wanting to elevate oneself in terms of high birth, opulence, education, and the enjoyment of family life. He cannot approach the Lord with feeling. Only those who are akinchana or niskinchana, without material possessions or without material attachments, can approach the Lord with real feeling. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions certain statements from the Shastra to the effect that if one chants the holy name of the Lord just once, he can be freed from the reactions to more sins than he can commit. If one chants the holy name just once. But Srila Prabhupada explains that there is a question of the quality of the chanting. He says there's no exaggeration in such statements, but there's a question of the quality.
And if one is on the path of material progress, one is proud of one's material position, if one wants to, if one is satisfied with one's material assets, he will not be able to chant with such feelings. So this idea of chanting the holy name just once is mentioned in verse from the Padma Purana. This is quoted in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita,
Antya Lila, Chapter 3, The Glories of Haridas Thakur. Namaikam yasya vachi sparana patagatam shrotam ulam gatam va. Shudham vashuda vanam vyahita rahitam taratyat yeva satyam. Tachchet deha javina janata loba pashanda madye nikshiptam syana phala janakam sigram evatra vitra. If a devotee once utters the holy name of the Lord, or if it penetrates his mind or enters his ear, which is the channel of oral reception, that holy name will certainly deliver him from material bondage. Whether vibrated properly or improperly, with correct or incorrect grammar, and properly joined or vibrated in separate parts. O Brahmana, the potency of the holy name is therefore certainly great. However, if one uses the vibration of the holy name for the benefit of the material body, for material wealth and followers, or under the influence of greed or atheism. In other words, if one utters the name with offenses, Such chanting will not produce the desired result very soon. Therefore, one should diligently avoid offenses in chanting the holy name of the Lord. Now there's one other verse in which Srila Prabhupada quotes Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur on the verse from the Padma Purana. Yes, it's in the same section, text 59, the immediately preceding verse. Namira akshara sabara eta svabhava vyavahita haidena chade apana prabhava. The letters of the holy name have so much spiritual potency that they act even when uttered improperly. Purport. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur states that the word vyavahita, improperly uttered, is not used here to refer to the mundane vibration of the letters of the alphabet. Such negligent utterance for the sense gratification of materialistic persons is not a vibration of transcendental sound. Utterance of the holy name, while one engages in sense gratification, is an impediment on the path toward achieving ecstatic love for Krishna. On the other hand, if one who is eager for devotional service utters the holy name even partially or improperly, the holy name, who is identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, exhibits its spiritual potency because of the person's offenseless utterance. Thus, one is relieved from all unwanted practices, and one gradually awakens his dormant love for Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada's rendering of his spiritual master's words presents the point quite tactfully. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is famous for saying that if you chant the holy name without attention, it's no better than chanting the letters of the alphabet. But Srila Prabhupada doesn't say it in such direct terms, but he does say that the effects, the glorious effects of chanting the holy name just once, apply when one chants without offense. And not when one chants in a negligent way or in a mood of material enjoyment, material improvement, material advancement. One has to sincerely, eagerly want to serve the holy name, to serve Krishna. Then, even if one chants improperly, if one doesn't pronounce the words exactly right, of course we should be attentive. We should be attentive. But there could be circumstances that make it hard to pronounce the name properly. But even then, if we chant in a sincere mood to serve the holy name, to associate with Krishna in the form of transcendental sound, then just one utterance of the holy name will act, even if chanted improperly, in the sense of not articulated properly. So, each and every one of us has an instruction here from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, even if we're neophytes. Someone might say, oh, I'm just a neophyte, you know, I can't do that. So-and-so may be advanced, he can do it, I'm just a neophyte, I can't. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed Satyaraj Khan and through him others to chant the holy name without cessation, Nirantara. Satyaraj Khan presented himself as a householder, materialistic person. What should I do being a householder and a materialistic person? And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, chant the holy name without cessation, and whenever possible to serve the Lord and the Vaishnavas. And not only are we qualified to chant the holy name if we just have faith that the holy name of Krishna and Krishna are identical, we're also qualified to preach. Preaching means basically to give faith. Again, ado shraddha, one becomes a devotee by developing faith. So if we can give someone faith, we can make the person a devotee, help the person to become a devotee, even if we're neophytes, by this definition of neophyte. It's a matter of realization. If we have just some realization that the holy name of Krishna and Krishna himself are the same, we can say that much if we have that realization. And that much is enough to awaken faith in another person and start the other person on the path of bhakti. And again, with that faith, just having begun to progress on the path of bhakti, one will ultimately reach the final stage of perfection, of pure love for Krishna. So this is something that each and every one of us can do regardless of our situation in life, regardless of our knowledge of Shastra. One of the characteristics that distinguishes a neophyte devotee from an advanced devotee is the neophyte devotee doesn't have much knowledge of Shastra, whereas the advanced devotee does. The intermediate devotee has more than the neophyte, but not as much as the advanced. But if you have just the realization that the holy name of Krishna is Krishna, and not just in a theoretical way like you heard it in class. Of course, that's good if you hear it in class and repeat it. That's also good. But if you actually have faith, which implies that you would actually act on it, if you actually have faith, then you can give faith to others. You can inspire faith in others, which means that you can awaken others to Krishna consciousness. And again, that faith will gradually mature and bring the devotee to the stage of Madhyama and Uttama. But we have to be... And again, to develop that faith, we associate with pure devotees. In other words, we associate with devotees who have that faith. And that's enough. And that's what our association is meant to be, the association of pure devotees. The Hare Krishna movement, the association of devotees who have faith in the holy name, faith that the holy name is Krishna, and that by taking shelter of Krishna, I will get everything. I will get protection, I will get maintenance, I will get everything up to the point of Krishna prema. So just once, if someone chants just once the holy name of Krishna, he's worshipable, he's the topmost human being. That sense of just once appears in a statement by Lord Ramachandra. It's originally in the Ramayana, Valmiki Ramayana, but it is quoted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Ramachandra says that if someone just once takes shelter of me, I assure the person of complete perfection. And from then on, the person becomes fearless. So in the same way, if just once we take shelter of the holy name, we actually utter the holy name without offense, we develop a relationship with the holy name. And the holy name will never forget us. The holy name will never let us go. The holy name will continue to help us. But we should make the job easier for the holy name. We shouldn't make it difficult. His Holiness Indradumya Swami told the story that once in his youth, he got a job as a lifeguard. And the teacher told him that when someone is drowning and you go to save the person, you have to go around behind the person, and then you grab the person, you know, from under the chin, you know, from around the neck, and you carry the person with you. Because if the person sees you, the person can get excited and start to, like, you know, splash in the water and drown. So they have to, like, go around behind the person and grab the person from around the neck and then carry the person to safety. So Maharaj said, in the same way, I mean, Krishna, the holy name, the spiritual master, the Vaishnavas, they're there to help us, to save us from drowning in the material ocean. But we shouldn't fight their efforts. That's the idea. We shouldn't fight their efforts and make it harder for them. And fighting their efforts really means maintaining material attachments. That is the tenth offense, to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on the matter. It's not an offense to have material attachments, because everyone has them. When we come to Krishna consciousness, when we take birth in the material world, we have material attachments. But we should not be attached to our attachments. We shouldn't hold on to them. We should let go of them and take shelter of the holy name and have faith in the holy name that whatever we want from all the material things we're trying to hold on to, we can get it from the holy name and much more and in a much better way. That is faith. That is Shraddha. That if I just take shelter of the holy name will take care of me in all respects. The holy name will give me whatever I need and whatever I want. And in particular, as devotees, we want devotional service. We want pure devotional service. We want pure love for Krishna. We will get everything from the holy name. And with that faith, we can let go of our material attachments. It doesn't mean that the holy name is going to take away our wife, take away our children, take away our job, take away our house, take away whatever. But it means that we have faith that the holy name will do whatever is best for us. Maybe under certain circumstances the holy name will take away our life. But we have to have faith that whatever, that by taking shelter of the holy name we'll be in the best position. And the material nature is such, the material world is such, that in the end, we're going to lose our wife anyway. We're going to lose our children, we're going to lose our home, we're going to lose our jobs, we're going to lose our bodies and minds. We're already losing our minds. Eventually, we're going to lose our bodies. So we can't hold on to these things anyway. That's an illusion. We make many arrangements to protect them, to protect ourselves, And we do, even as devotees, take normal precautions, but we're not inordinately preoccupied with taking care of our bodies and material assets. We're more preoccupied with developing our relationship with the Holy Name and seeing how the Holy Name is ultimately our best friend, protector, shelter, maintainer, guide, and everything we could want. In fact, the Holy Name is ultimately Krishna. So, what more need be said? If we have any idea of what Krishna is, then we know that the Holy Name is everything, because it's Krishna. Krishna is everything. Everything means everything for the devotee, the life and soul of the devotee, the supreme object of love for the devotee. That is Krishna, that is the Holy Name. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments?
I just wondering, you were saying that we have to take full share of shelter of the Holy Name. So is there any difference between taking care of Krishna and taking care of the Holy Name?
Well, the difference between taking shelter of Krishna and taking shelter of the Holy Name, I mean, both are the same in one sense, but the difference is that the Holy Name is more accessible and more merciful. If we talk about Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha, we are not at the stage where we're able to see Satchidananda Vigraha. Of course, we have the Archa Vigraha. But again, with the Archa Vigraha, you need to be where the Archa Vigraha is, and you have to take bath, you have to wear clean clothes, you require certain paraphernalia for the worship. But in the case of the Holy Name, you don't need anything, just your tongue and your ears. Even if those fail, you can chant in your mind. So it's the same, but the Holy Name is more accessible to us and more merciful. Chaitanya Chandra Prabhu.
Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a Srila Bhakti Prabhupada quote, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, saying that sometimes persons are so materialistic that they should take shelter of the Panchatantra Maha Mantra, the Panchatantra Mantra, rather than chanting Hare Krishna, and then become purified from chanting the Panchatantra Mantra and chanting Hare Krishna. Can you comment on that?
Yes, that's true, that in the chanting of the holy names of Gaur Nitai or the Panchatattva, offenses are not considered. So we chant the Panchatattva mantra first to become in the proper state of mind, like in an ecstatic mood, to chant the holy names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And that's why in kirtan we always begin by chanting the Panchatattva Mantra. And that's a good point. That's a good point. First we take shelter of Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then Radha and Krishna. Correct? What you have said is true. Nityananda.
I had the same question except with a slight nuance to it. And that was that in rather than worshipping Radha and Krishna deities, because that's how we're going to be able to actually make rapid progress and actually come to the stage where we can actually even consider worshipping Radha and Krishna like that. So when we have deities of Gaura Nithai with us, and we constantly chanting their name, because we're remembering them, we're praying to them, and we're calling out to them as Gaura Nithai, we get the same effect as chanting Krishna's name.
Yes, by chanting the holy names of Gaura Nithai, you get the same result as chanting Hare Krishna. But Gaura Nithai chanted Hare Krishna. Taking shelter of Gaura Nithai means taking shelter of their wishes, their desires, their instructions, which is to chant Hare Krishna. In tomorrow's verse, which is Lord Chaitanya's answer to the same question the second time, the purport begins with the point that, well, there's a related verse in purport, but it begins with the point that one should take shelter of Lord Chaitanya. To properly chant the holy name, one should take shelter of Lord Chaitanya. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada specifically mentions the verse Trinadapi Sunichena. Because Prabhupada said example is more important than precept. And Lord Chaitanya set the example of chanting Hare Krishna. So even though the precept is to chant the Panchatattva mantra, but the example was set by the members of the Panchatattva to chant the Hare Krishna Maha mantra. So we do both. But we begin with the Panchatattva mantra to put us in the proper state to chant the Hare Krishna Maha mantra. And the same applies to the worship of the deities of Gaura Nithai. We chant their names, but eventually we also chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada said the best way to worship Gaura Nithai is to chant Hare Krishna for their pleasure.
So in that sense, Maharaj, there are times when we instinctively we say the name of holy name. Instinctively say the holy name. Something happens, and like amongst materialists, they might say, "Oh my God." So for us, sometimes because we're worshipping Lord Gauranga, we might just say Gauranga, instead of saying Krishna.
That's very good.
Yeah, I'm asking whether there is any difference now, or whether it's just as good in that point. I mean, yes, we should chant Hare Krishna, but sometimes instinctively the word comes out because something happens, and immediately you want to call out to the Lord, and the deity that you're serving happens to be Lord Gauranga and Lord Pinanda, because your deity is Gaura Nithai. So your thought immediately goes there, and you're seeking their shelter, calling out their name. Is that in any way different from saying the name Krishna and just calling out Krishna instead?
Well, the Bhagavatam says nama, priya nama kritya. One should chant the name that is dear to one. And Brihad Bhagavatamrita also makes the same point, that chanting the name that is most dear to one is the best name for you. So if you're particularly attached to Gauranga, and you chant the holy name of Gauranga, that's the best for you. Whatever deity is most dear to you, whatever name is most dear to you, that's the best for you. Yes?
Yes, Maharaj. I've been in this class that we...
What is your name, by the way?
Vidugna.
Vidugna. Okay.
I'm getting from this class that we're only want to try to get to the platform of chanting purely the whole name of the Lord. And my question is, okay, one name is known for a long time, and maybe like you said, once chanted the holy name, and then if someone has once chanted the holy name purely, can that person still like fall from maybe not continually chanting purely? And if you did chant purely, like well, one day from chanting, having once chanted purely, would that come back and like come back again, where you can like, pick it up and try to be a more continuous purely chanting, or is it that one day you chant purely and from there on out it's purely?
Well, what the purport says is that if one has faith that just by chanting the holy name once, one will achieve all perfection, he will come to the stage of perfection because of the faith. Now, if you chant without offense, but without faith, there's benefit to the chanting. And because of the merciful nature of the holy name, you will chant again. And you will have the opportunity to associate with pure devotees, and you will get the opportunity to achieve perfection. But the specific value of chanting the holy name once, as described here in the purport, is that if one has faith that by chanting the holy name only once, one will eventually attain perfection, then one will gradually make progress and one will achieve perfection. It's a matter of faith. Ado Shraddha. Srila Prabhupada said that if you just turn one screw in the temple, you know, if you come to the temple and do service, you just turn one screw in the temple, Krishna will never forget it, he'll never let you go. So if you chant the holy name once, Krishna will not forget it and he won't let you go. But the purport is to associate with pure devotees, because in their association you'll develop that faith, and that faith will really carry you to the successive stages of Krishna consciousness. And if one chants without cessation and associates with pure devotees, then he won't fall down. But even if he does accidentally, the holy name, as long as he keeps, you know, trying to take shelter of the holy name will pick him up again. But that also requires the association of pure devotees to get that, to develop the desire to again take up the holy name in the same spirit. That requires the association of pure devotees. In, you know, for all practical purposes. And again, to avoid committing offenses, one should avoid the association of non-devotees. Because really, in the association of non-devotees, that one's offensive mentality becomes more prominent. Or one develops an offensive mentality. The two go together, associating with pure devotees and avoiding intimate association with non-devotees. Yes, to David. You're saying that you chant your 16 rounds out of duty, but you don't really have faith that the holy name of Krishna is Krishna, in practical terms. Theoretically, yes, but not in practical terms. Well, again, if you continue to chant and associate with pure devotees, eventually, and you're not holding on to material attachments and you're not associating with non-devotees, and eventually you'll be elevated. But you have to want to be. Can't be like a social thing or a theoretical thing. It really has to be in your heart. Yes? Archanam. She says that we want to chant the holy name. We feel more sheltered by the holy name, but we also have to do practical service. Why do you have to do practical service?
Well, sometimes we have to do some practical service, and we don't feel the name. We feel like more sheltered in the holy name of chant.
Well, if the service is service to the holy name, then, you know, you should think, I'm doing this, you should like pray to the holy name that I want to chant, but I still don't get the idea why you have to do practical service. Who's telling you you have to do practical service? Are you talking about Grihastha Ashram that you need to maintain the family?
No.
Temple service, you might be given temple service. So should you do a temple service or instead just chant? Don't worry about the temple service.
No, she's not saying that. She's presuming that she has to do some practical service. So if it's temple service, then presumably the ultimate goal is to get people to chant Hare Krishna, which is service to the holy name. And depending on what the service is, you could be chanting while you're doing the service, either vocally or mentally. You don't have to stop chanting with your tongue or within your mind just because your body is engaged in service. But if the service requires a certain type of concentration that doesn't allow you to chant, but if the service is for the holy name, to bring more people to the holy name, and if you're conscious of that while you're engaged in the service, then you'll feel connected with the holy name, and you'll get the mercy of the holy name, And as soon as you get the opportunity to actually chant, you'll feel the mercy of the holy name, because all the practical service you were doing was for the holy name, was for the pleasure of the holy name. So the holy name won't forsake you because you did it, but the holy name will reward you if you're doing it in the mood of service to the holy name. And all the while wishing you could be in the association of the holy name by chanting. So then when the time comes that you can chant, the holy name will reciprocate. More than if you were to avoid the service. Like once, on sort of a personal example, but I was in Santa Barbara, I was chanting at the beach. I usually go in the evening and walk and chant by the beach. And I was really chanting, and usually after walking and chanting, then I sit and chant. So I was sitting and chanting and really relishing and wanting to chant more. But at the time, His Holiness Niranjan Swami was staying with me, and I knew he wanted to talk with me. So I was chanting and relishing the chanting and wanting to chant more. And then at a certain stage, I felt the holy name intervene and say that, you know, His Holiness Niranjan Swami is very dear to me. He's done so much service to spread the holy name. And so if you serve him, you're serving my servant. It's better than serving me directly. So you should go and stop your chanting and go and be with him. So that's also possible. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Sri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai. Thank you.